Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
All right, all right, all right. I feel a little discombobulated, not going to lie here. Good morning, 209. I'm Mark Harmon in for Nick D. Did you miss me the last two nights? Esmeralda, did you miss me the last two nights?
I did.
Dan, did you miss me?
Very much.
Did anybody miss me?
I miss you in general.
Oh, my God, I feel so good. It is it's great to be back filling in the third night of the Nick DiGilio is off week. And, yes, if you are listening to the end of Patty's show or the entire part of Patty's show, as you, the entire show, pretty late with Patty Vasquez, as you should be. I did throw in there, it's my birthday. I turned 44 years old 2 hours and 10 minutes ago. And I am willing to hear all happy birthday calls at 312-981-7200. I just walked into the studio. There is a bag in here that says happy birthday. Is this for me?
It is for you. We should do it in order. Okay, open the blue one first.
Dan, you're
this is from Esmeralda Vick and I.
Dan, you're my favorite person ever.
Don't be so excited. It cost me like $12.
All right, well, okay, so this blue one feels like Fiji water. I'm going to be it feels like Fiji water. I can tell. And it's I didn't bring my Fiji water in tonight, so this is a fitting. And it is. It is Fiji water, the natural artesian water. Let me read it to you here, team. Let's all get together here. Let's all gather around the radio, gather around your phone if you're listening on the outstanding WGN radio app. The Fiji Water Foundation was created in 2007. Back in 2007 when I was younger than I am today. Can I even do the math?
34?
I was 34. That was 10 years ago. 2007 was 10 years ago. It's 2017. Oh, my God. All right. Was created in 2007 with two goals. First, to support the communities where we live and work. How beautiful is that, Fiji water? Second, to preserve Fiji's natural beauty. This is a new thing. This is not what I was reading the other day. This is a new written Fiji.
Just for your birthday.
Since then, we funded initiatives that include providing clean water and health care access to local communities, building educational facilities, and helping preserve the Savi Basin rainforest. I'm going to be honest. I'm a little disappointed right now in Fiji water. You can't change your slogan.
Well, that's the Mark Carmen collectible series, Fiji
right.
Water.
Vic, the other one was drop by drop. I might have to run down to my car at the 2:30 news and come back with what they said. Because this is, you can't, this is on the back of your water bottle. This is the very foundation of who you are. And now I'm beginning to wonder if Fiji Water is a fraud. What the Fiji Water Foundation, I guess they're talking about their foundation and not the drop by drop of Fiji Water. So
they could still be doing drop by drop.
They're still doing drop by
drop. Also
helping
people.
So this is their foundation, and they've been so successful with this drop by drop that now they have a foundation. One of the great marketing of all time. The Fiji Water has this beautiful, what would you call that? What kind of flower? It's like a pink flower on there. I don't know. It's so beautiful. All right. Fiji water. Gift one.
Gift one. Gift two is the pink one.
Okay. Gift one was from you.
All four are from Esmeralda, Vic, and
it's
I.
It's from the show.
All right. And so this actually isn't for you. I think you can figure out who's it for once you open it.
Okay. I'm just feeling it. It feels like a Coke bottle. It is a. It's a Diet Coke bottle.
Next time you go to the theater.
That's funny. If you were not listening on Sunday night, I went to the movies with my girlfriend, and she brought, what did she bring? Let's see if the memory can hold for a week. Probably not. She brought Milk Duds. She brought the big cookie. She brought popcorn, which we had some skinny pop. We had Starburst, but she didn't bring a soda. And she asked me to, you know, get her a soda at the old movie theater concessions, $7 Diet Coke. She also paid for the tickets to see Dunkirk. And I was being a terrible person and complaining that if you're going to bring all this stuff, which was brilliant, how do you forget the Diet Coke? And now I've got Diet Coke to bring to the movie theaters. This is amazing. All right.
Number three would be the green one.
Number three is the green one. Okay, this feels like tennis balls. This feels like tennis balls. A guy like me knows a tennis ball when I feel it. And there it is. You got the right ones.
Okay.
You got the right ones. You went for the Penn ATP World Tour. You didn't go cheap on me. You got me an upper-level tennis ball. Was this the only one they were selling there?
No, it had the fanciest can, so I figured it had to be the best one.
Good marketing there, Penn. They do matter. This has got a nice, good felt. Oh, my God, a can of tennis balls. You have no idea how happy this makes me. These will be used. The water will be used. The Diet Coke will be used. I mean, a lot of times you get gifts on your birthday, and you don't actually use the birthday gifts.
Right.
They go away. These are all going to get some. I'm going to drink the water during the show. Now I've got gift four.
This is for your new passion.
For my new passion. I mean, it feels like a magazine, but it's not a magazine. It's like a small book. My new passion. My new passion. Apparently, I've got a new passion. Oh, here we go. It is a magazine. Oh, my God. It's Sky News, the Canadian magazine of astronomy and stargazing. Yes. Yes. You guys are so good. You're so good. Did we not learn about the solar eclipse the other night?
I mean, you were so enthused. You're going to go to Carbondale, so we figured you might as well have a magazine to bring with you.
I mean, now this is huge. When I ride down to Carbondale with Steve Grzanich and Dave Schwann to take in the eclipse on August the 21st, I'll be able to read the Canadian Magazine of Astronomy and Stargazing. This is, you guys, I want to give hugs to everybody. Vic, thank you. I appreciate everything you've done for me.
Put a lot of thought into that. Happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you so much. Esmeralda.
Happy birthday.
You are so damn sweet.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Unraveling the mystery of lunar ray craters, earliest life on Earth found in Canada, remembering the great comet of 1997, explore Ophiuchus. You guys have any idea? Ophiuchus. 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 Clusters and doubles. What do you think? How would you pronounce that? Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus? It's got to be Ophiuchus. Anybody? 312-981-7200. Who knows about an Ophiuchus? I mean, I want to open up this thing and just read to everybody for the next 3 hours. Faster than a speeding bullet. What's faster than a speeding bullet? Superman, of course. A speeding white dwarf star located inside the magnificent southern sky globular cluster 47 Tucanae. Racing around a black hole, the star known as 47. Okay, I'll stop. But this is amazing. Thank you so much. I've got
Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus.
Thank you. Computer.
It sounded like she just swore at you.
Yeah, I was like, excuse me?
Ophiuchus.
Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus. Okay. I don't think you're right. Ophiuchus?
Ophiuchus.
Explore Ophiuchus clusters and doubles. Maybe you are. I mean, I don't want to mess with the god of that thing. All right. Well, the birthday's underway here. I had a great Google search today on turning 44, so we can talk about that coming back here. And I just would like advice here. Like, am I middle age now? Is that what's going on? I think, like, what is it like getting from, like, going into this, like, middle age situation? Want to know how people have handled this, what their recommendations are, how to really thrive as a 44-year-old. Esmeralda, I'm counting on you to come up with some stuff here, just so you know. Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm far younger than you are, so.
I know, but I think you have wisdom. I believe in your
beyond
wisdom.
Beyond my years?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think you're an incredibly coherent, intelligent, have deep sensations that others don't have. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm going to stop now. Play ball. Yeah, no problem. Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. quick little timeout, and we will get into some actual real topics, too. As I am Mark Carmen, it is my birthday. I'm in for Nick DiGilio, who's back next week on 720 WGN. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. 720 WGN. If you were paying attention in the break there, it is a birthday for the Steve Cochran Show coming up this morning. And last year, I was filling in on the same overnight show. And in walked Mary Sandberg in the morning, and she had this cake. And I thought the cake was for me. And I got super excited because she walked in the studio, was like, with this cake. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's so nice of you, Mary. And then she's like, oh, it's your birthday, too? I'm sorry. This is actually and Andre Darlis and I share the same birthday, August 11th. So
to the year, we might add.
She so I just, you know, she's like, no, this is it's for Andrea and for the show and got nothing to do with you. And, well, can I have a slice? Is there any way I could get a little piece of that Portillo's beautiful cake? Yeah, Andrea gets the first slice, and she's not going to be here for another 40 minutes, so no, I'm really sorry. And I just got, I mean, that's a blow, right? You walk in, now that birthday skips, can I at least get it, like, you know, it looks delicious. How about this little slice for the old effort or something? Nothing.
You should have stuck your hand in it and just ran.
Right?
Just grabbed a bunch and just gone, took off.
Or at least gotten a little bit of, a little frosting, something.
That was a fantastic Mary Sandberg, by the way.
So do you think that this year will be different and they will have...
No.
No?
No, absolutely not.
No cake for you.
But it doesn't matter. I've got Fiji water, a can of tennis balls, Diet Coke, and Sky News. Honestly, that trumps any cake that Mary Sandberg's bringing in for Andrea. I mean, I don't work with you guys every day. You see me like once every 3 years, and I just got four gifts from the show. I mean, it's super nice, and I feel touched, and I don't need anything from the Steve Cochran Show. I will be filling in for Dave Ennett next week, who's doing something somewhere. Okay. Patrick, are you calling to wish me a happy birthday, buddy? Thank you.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you, my man. It's been good hearing you fill in for Nick, as well as listening to Elton Jim the other day, too. All you guys have been doing a kick-ass job, excuse my language, but happy birthday. It seems to be a lot of August birthdays at WGN, man.
I think it's because, you know, as Leos, you know, we got that King of the Jungle, huge ego. We have to, like, let everybody know we exist, so we want to be on the radio thing going on.
Yeah, I kind of share the same thing as my birthday's on the 16th, so.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always calling the station. But I guess next week, what do you got? Justin Kaufman on the 15th, and then Patty's on the 17th.
Look at you following along with the WGN birthdays. I didn't know that. Patty,
yeah,
just...
Well, like I said, mine's on the 16th, so... I'm like, wow, all these August birthdays, but it's cool, man. It's really cool, and hope you're enjoying your day, and it's good listening to you overnight, man.
How old are you, Patrick? Let's talk about you.
I'm going to be 50.
You're going to be 50, so you've done this 44 thing. What's
I've done the 44.
What's your advice as you move into the mid-40s, staring down a 50? I mean, how does that look?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when I turned 44, all I remember was I had a shot of Jack, a pint of Guinness, and that was about it.
a shot of Jack, a pint of Guinness, and a night. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it, you know. You're not 20 anymore, so you can't drink yourself sober.
Right. You got kids there, Patrick?
Oh, yeah. I got three.
Three kids. You married?
I'm married, going on 16 years.
And what do you do, Patrick?
I am a truck driver. In fact, I'm about 40 miles from Toledo, Ohio, right now as we speak.
Who do you run for? Can you say that? Is that legal?
I don't know if it's legal, but I run for a company called Dayton Freight.
Okay. I was in the trucking game for a minute myself. I did transportation logistics. So I was that jerk that you would, you know, call into when you were getting your load and that type of stuff. It was a challenging industry. A lot of competition for you guys, and there's some dishonesty that goes on in the business, correct?
Well, it's some silliness that happens, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's some silliness,
yeah.
You know. What company did you work for?
At the time, it was D&D, and then it turned into Command Transportation, and now I believe it's Echo Transportation, if any of that
I'm
sounds
familiar.
Familiar
with
them. Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with them. I'm a line haul driver, so I go out and I come back every night.
I did the
regional thing briefly where I'd go out for a week, sleep in the truck for a week, but now I'm home every day. You know, this has actually been pretty fun. There's some good miles going back and forth from where our home terminal is today to Toledo, Ohio. It's a good mile.
So how long is that ride then?
A little over 4 hours.
Okay.
A little over 4 hours. I left at about, what did I leave? I think it's about 10:45 when I left out of the Joliet area. And like I said, I stand to get there at about maybe 3 o'clock, 3:15 in the morning.
And then you turn right back around?
Well, it depends if the load is ready. Yeah, not, you know, put up the idea to get there, drop a trailer, pick up one, come back.
Interesting. But how long can you?
In fact, I'm 30 miles away from there now.
And how long can you guys run before you have to stop?
Well, you got
legally
take your first 30-minute. You got to take your first 30-minute break before your 8 hours is up, and then you have a total of 11 hours that you can drive.
I see.
You know, but yep. You do have to do a 30-minute break before 8 hours is up.
There it is.
There it is.
The fabric of society, man.
That's what we do, but. Hey, and not to mention, you got the Fiji water, the Diet Coke, and, you know, you also have a good quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
Did you watch any before you headed out?
No, I because my daughter does competitive cheer.
Okay.
And she does band at her high school, so I had to drop everything, go pick her up, bring her back, and go to work.
All right. Well, he was Mitch Trubisky for Bears fans out there, or casual, whatever, sports fans. The Bears look like they got a quarterback. This dude was his first game ever tonight, and he was, I mean, it's preseason and all that stuff, but the guy was solid. I'm excited about it.
It sounds like it. I usually don't get very excited for preseason, but
me neither.
I guess I missed something. Because I'm going to tell you something that's probably going to make you hang up on me. I am a Sox fan.
Oh, that's okay,
Patrick.
I was also
listening to the Sox game.
They
swept the Astros.
They swept the Astros. Won an extra innings tonight, 3-2. Houston's one of the best teams in baseball. It's a good week for the White Sox. All right, Patrick, I gotta go to news. Drive safe, and thanks for the birthday call, my friend. Happy birthday to you on the 16th.
And you as well. Enjoy the rest of your day, and take care of yourself, brother.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Patrick.
All right.
Drive safe.
Bye.
Patrick out there on the road, 312-981-7200. WGN birthdays this month. Jeff Hill, our sales manager, runs the station, was yesterday. Myself and Andrea today. Krista Flores, the biggest San Antonio Spurs fan of all time, is on the 13th. Justin Cobb in the 15th. Patty Vasquez on the 17th. Charlie Potter.
Hosts the Great Outdoors every Sunday morning.
Oh, Charlie Potter on the Great Outdoors. The 19th. Judy Tarmino, the 19th. She does the money. She's always mad at me. Dave Schwann, who's generally my hero, is on the 22nd. News, of course, Lindsay Smithwick, who produces Lou Manfredini on Saturday mornings, is the 20th. I skipped over him. Ernie Skadden is the voice that you'll hear on many, many commercials, is the 26th. And Kisara Heining?
She's a new producer. Yeah.
She's a new producer. Congratulations to Kisara. Welcome to the family on the 26th. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN. I tell you, there's nothing I enjoy more on a birthday than Facebook. Happy birthday, Mark. Listening to you this morning from Steve Allman on Facebook. I love the birthday messages on Facebook. We got a Chuck Snitchler, who was always on Facebook talking, wishing me a happy birthday. Barbara Felton, I see you. I'm going to write everyone back this birthday year. You know, there's a lot of people on the birthday on Facebook. They go with a thanks to everybody for all the messages. Esmeralda, are you one of those thanks to everybody people?
I do that, but I will like each
post. You'll give a like.
Post.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that's fine. It's not upper level, but that's a solid level if you're willing to go for a like. What do you do, Dan?
I, too, do the thanks for everybody and try to like.
I'm going to go individual thank yous. But if I don't know you, I mean, I guess I can just say thanks to your name. But I want to feel a deep connection. That's what's going on here. So, anyway, I will friend you if you friend me on Facebook. I want friends. More importantly, I like Twitter followers, at the Carm. If you follow me on Twitter, I will mention you on the air and say things, say nice things about you and build your brand. We're all in this together. Now, we have an issue we have to tackle here, and I want to start a movement. Because there was the Taco Bell movement. There's going to be a boycott or a support of Taco Bell on August 26th at the Wrigleyville Taco Bell. Esmeralda, do you go to McDonald's?
I have, yes.
Dan, you a McDonald's goer every now and then?
Every now and then, yes.
Okay. So my order at McDonald's when I go, which is about, I'm going to call it four times a year, I get the two cheeseburger and I get the high C. I get the orange. That's my order. And news has come out.
Are they surprised when you drive up and you're not 10 years old?
It is a 10-year-old. But that's the thing. If you're going to McDonald's, I'm not going as an adult. I'm going to serve little young Mark. That's what I'm going to McDonald's for. I'm not having an adult meal. I want to, like, reconnect with my childhood or something. That's why I'm going to Mickey D's. Or I'm, you know, in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing, no other options. But I'm not going there for, like, you know, anything other than I just want to feel young right now and eat McDonald's. But McDonald's is killing the orange IC. I can't believe you just said that, Dan. I can. It's like a if I ordered a Coke, am I more of an adult there?
Yes.
I don't. Is there really? Is that true? If you get the high C, you're a kid.
Well, according to this article, you are more in the right than I am.
Well, maybe you're onto something, or maybe it's a avoidance of growing up, and now I just got to get the soda and just face facts that I'm 44 years old. Which I want to read something in a second here about the age of depression starting at 44, which is really awful. But here we go. McDonald's is killing the orange high C. People are mad. I agree. I'm mad. People are trying to come to terms with the tragic loss of the high C orange lava burst at McDonald's. Why would you get rid of the high C? Like, for what reason? You can't, you tell me you can't create another little slot for the whatever they're putting in there? Is no one getting the high C orange? If you're not getting the high C orange, you're missing out. McDonald's announced back in April, I missed this, but it would replace the iconic orange high C with a new soda called Sprite Tropic Berry. Why can't it be a both and? Why can't we have our Tropic Berry and our high C? Do you ever get the high C, Esmeralda?
No, I always go Fanta, orange Fanta.
That's a great order. I love an orange Fanta. But the high C doesn't have the... you don't have the soda. You know, it's a flatter,
right,
nicer,
no,
kid-like taste. Dan, let's see here. With the replacement rollout started in May, it wasn't an immediate switch as locations continued to serve up the high C until their stock was depleted. Think about that. They had this nasty high C from like 7 years ago that nobody was drinking. Now we're still going to sell it until you won't buy it anymore. But that's what Mickey D's did. Some people still showing up at their local fast food joint, eager for high C, only to realize that it's no longer being served and they aren't happy. We're not. Quote from McDonald's. We had a customer do the voice survey and tell us that we are stupid for getting rid of it, one apparent McDonald's employee commented. He told us he was never going to come back to McDonald's. He was cussing, and then we saw him the next day. Of course you did, because McDonald's is addictive and it's delicious. And if you're a McDonald's eater, you can't just, there's no way to walk away.
I feel your pain because when they got rid of Powerade, I was very upset because that used to be my order.
At Mickey D's?
They had Powerade at Mickey D's. So like a fountain pop Powerade.
Mm.
So,
how do you drink that with your food?
I mean, it's not healthy and it was probably the wrong thing. It's not a good idea to drink a sports drink when you're not exercising, but that was always my go-to. I'd order, you know, my Big Mac or whatever, and then I'd have a Powerade, and then they just stopped doing it.
I mean, I don't mind that order. It's a nice hydration maneuver by you and a pound of sugar. Esmeralda, you're making faces.
It just seems, I don't know, like Gatorade and all that stuff. It doesn't seem hefty enough for a meal.
Soda is hefty enough?
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. I have never gotten a Powerade at McDonald's, but I think I got to side with Esmeralda on this one, Dan. I don't think I've ever had a Gatorade with a meal.
It's kind of like watered down, right?
No,
it's got that weird kind of salty, sugary taste. Or not even that sugary, depending, I guess, on which one you get.
I can't believe there's not a movement right now on WGN about at 312-981-7200. I don't care that it's 2:44 in the morning. We could try to save the high C.
I am surprised, though, because isn't that what they serve? Sorry to keep bringing this up, Carm, but Don't they? That's what they put in the big cooler that they give people for birthday parties.
Is that right?
That's what I always thought it was. So it makes sense why, you know, it would be very nostalgic for people to have it. I mean, that's what they used to serve, if I remember correctly. Mm.
Do you think they do milk now? Because isn't that what they give little kids?
Oh, yeah. And apple milk slices instead of french fries.
Which I would be angry if I was a little kid and got apple slices.
I like the milk at McDonald's. I would enjoy a little cute McDonald's carton of milk. Now, I haven't had that since I was six. But I remember just thinking, like, can I get a milk, please? And being super happy with it, with a straw. When I was growing up, if I may, on my 44th birthday, we weren't a McDonald's family, though. We were a legit Burger King family. And me and my aunt, R.I.P., Aunt Ev, who would do literally anything for me, Saturdays, that started, or didn't start, but lunch was at Burger King, which I don't think anybody does anymore. Like, going, you don't take a kid to Burger King. It's, like, not cool or something. Back then, going to Burger King and waiting in the Burger King line and getting the Whopper and sitting down, that was a thing.
Would you get a crown?
Absolutely. And knock that, get that crown going on. I mean, I think at a certain point I stopped going crown, but I for sure got the crown.
How many crowns did you collect if you were going once a week?
I was bad at that stuff. I always would, like, I don't know where they would end up. I never really, like, had a, I could never organize, like, and keep things. But I'd go home with it, and then I'd probably rip it up and throw it out, something like that. Ooh. So, my guy Daryl's texting in, who works at Wrigley Field. Daryl, appreciate you. You're the man. And, yeah. Can I read this real quick here before? Do we have to go to break right now, Dan?
We can go either way. You can read it right now, or we can go to break, whatever you want to do.
I'll do it coming back. It's a little heavy. I need a full window to
good tease.
I need to go. I need a full window to. I mean, I put in turning 44, and this was the article that came up. So I think I'd appreciate the opportunity to discuss it with everybody. So we'll do that in 2 minutes on 720 WGN. Before I move on to this 44-year-old article. Forgot to read some of the McDonald's tweets about Orange High C going around. Good afternoon to everyone except the at McDonald's employee who thought of getting rid of Orange High C. Katie Anderson on Twitter. Nothing upsets me more than remembering that McDonald's got rid of Orange High C. Honestly, what in God's names were you thinking, Ronald? I don't know why at McDonald's got rid of Orange High C, but my life is worse because of it, from Carrie Butterworth. I don't want to live in the past, but McDonald's needs to bring back Orange High C. Today might be the most tragic day of my life. I found out McDonald's no longer sells the Orange High C drink. I want to cry. That seems like... So there were some very upset people in the Twitter world about this High C Orange McDonald's situation. All right.
I like the people who blamed Ronald. Like it was Ronald McDonald's fault.
Ronald is somewhere, man.
He's pulling all the strings.
Ronald is in there. It's like if you, it's like never letting go of Santa is like believing in Ronald. Ronald freaked me out as a kid too. Like, there would always be like a McDonald's opening and Ronald would be there, or they'd be raising money and Ronald would show up. I think I was like kind of intimidated by Ronald.
He is kind of frightening,
right? Some kids are terrified of clowns. Some kids are terrified of mascots. I was terrified of Ronald, which I don't know what you would call Ronald. He's one of the two. Or maybe he's just Ronald, he's his own thing. Do you know anybody, do you have any like nieces or nephews or distant family members who are afraid of, like, you can't take them to a Bulls game because they're afraid of Benny the Bull? Does that ring a bell with anyone? Have I lost it here at 2:52 in the morning?
Does it ring a bell for you?
Yes. My good friend, David Frank, he wouldn't, his daughters, he was just telling me, he's just terrified of Benny the Bull, and my girlfriend, her nephew is terrified of the mascots. Like, that's a thing. They're terrified of mascots.
I mean, it is a giant animal.
Yeah, I mean, we're
moves
talking
around on hind legs.
We're talking Benny, right? Big, lovable Benny, not the skinny.
No, the skinny one, I think. Okay. Well, that's how I heard it. I mean, if I was going to be afraid of a mascot, I'd be afraid of Clark the Cub, a bear with no pants. That dude's terrifying.
Well, they're used to it because of Winnie.
Oh, yeah.
Mm, good point. Good point. All right, so here we go. I put in the old Google search, turning 44. First article, the age of depression. 44 marks the start of that midlife crisis, and scientists say it lasts years. I kid you not, you can do this. Put in the old Google thing, turning 44. And it reads, if you've just turned 40 and think you're headed for a midlife crisis, you may wish to look away now. For scientists have confirmed that we really are most likely to feel depressed when we reach middle age. They suggest happiness and depression follow a U shape over the course of a lifetime. So you're super happy when you're a kid, and then it goes down, 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 and then you get happy when you get older. The old U-shape happy life. So while most of us enjoy a happy start and end to life, there is a trough in the middle with 44 the year when depression peaks. I don't want to make light of depression and people have real issues here, so let me be clear. This is a like non-diagnosed depression, standard person battling midlife type of discussion, which would be me. And the low period does not lift significantly for several years. Research from Warwick University, which sounds like a real university in Britain, and Dartmouth College in the U.S., which definitely is, analyzed data of 2 million people from 70 nations, and they found an extraordinarily consistent pattern in terms of depression and happiness levels. Did you hear that? Extremely consistent. Now, I wouldn't say that I'm the most happy person of all time, but, and I think I'm good here, have a nice, solid perspective. But this whole turning 44 thing does, like, it does irk me. Okay, like, if I'm 44, I mean, let's do the math here. I'm probably on the back nine of the old lifespan here, at least by average. That means I got to live to 88 to be in the middle. And what have I really accomplished? Some things, but not everything. And there's like a lot that I want to do, but yet you just kind of live in the moment, right? You can't get all caught up in what you have or haven't. Just be happy, be in there. But then the birthday comes rolling around, and you kind of take inventory, right? I mean, do people like their birthdays? 312-981-7200. Like, do you like your birthday, Dan? You're a young man.
Yeah, I come around to it. When I was younger, I didn't like it as much. Now I'm all right with it. So,
Esmeralda.
I love my birthday.
Can I ask
you? It's a day to celebrate. Me.
How old are you, Esmeralda? Do you keep that a secret? Some people do.
No, I'm 34.
You're 34.
Mm-hmm.
See, I thought like the last good birthday was 28. Because at 29, when you turn 29, you know the next year is 30. Then you're all of a sudden you're not in your 20s. And then you're 30. And the last thing you want to do is start creeping up from there. So I think like the last good birthday is 28, which is not true.
I don't really think about it that way because I still look pretty young.
You look amazing.
So as long as I keep looking younger than my actual age, I'm perfectly fine.
Okay. That's a good way of looking at it. Let's see here.
To go back to your, kind of back nine type thing, one of the most depressing things Bill Leff ever said when he was host of the Overnights was he had a birthday. He and I have the same birthday. Apparently, that's a thing here at the radio station. You and Andrea, Brian Noonan, and Cody have the same birthday. Bill and I had the same birthday.
Brian Noonan and Cody have the same birthday?
Yeah.
And they work together on Sunday nights?
Yep.
It's officially weird. Okay, go ahead.
It's officially weird. So, but he goes, yeah, you know what's really depressing is when you get older and it's Christmas morning and you realize you're going to have a lot less Christmas mornings than... before, like when you start to realize that,
There it is.
Like I'm only going to maybe have 25, 30 more Christmas mornings instead of I'm going to have 40 more Christmas mornings. It's like, oh, my God. Thanks, Bill.
You're right. I feel Bill Leff on that one, though. He's leaving the moment and he's focused on the math. And that is not a good decision. People are getting fired up on the on the high C on the text line. Last year, those jerks at McDonald's got rid of the hot mustard. They did lose my business until they brought it back. Must have had a lot of complaints. The hot mustard at McDonald's? Anybody?
I think you get it with chicken McNuggets.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Back to 44 years old. Let's see. In the U.S., by contrast, there's a big difference between the sexes, with unhappiness peaking at about 40 for women and 50 for men. So there's something for you to look forward to, Esmeralda. Your unhappiness is going to peak in 6 years.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Once in their 50s, do most people emerge from the low period? But encouragingly, by the time you're 70, if you're still physically fit, then on average you are as happy as a mentally healthy 20-year-old. How about that? And I've seen that in action, too. Like, I would say, like, my aunt was the happiest when she was old. She was this happy old lady, man. Just everything had worked out however it had worked out, and she was playing her cards, doing her bridge and whatnot. And I would say, you know, at the end, she was just a very content person. Then, of course, there are bitter old people. But enjoy it all. 608 texting, and love my birthday, which is today, by the way, 46. The only thing I don't like is getting out of bed at 2:30 in the morning to go to work, but I do get to listen to you on my drive. Very enjoyable, by the way. Thank you so much. Love to know where you're going to work. Have a great day at work. I think it's important to go into the workday with a positive attitude. Get everything done that you want to get done. Don't procrastinate. Be in the moment. Approach the stuff that you really don't want to do, which I've been struggling at for, how old am I? Right, 44. I've been struggling with approaching the stuff that I don't want to do for 43 and a half years. The first 6 months of my life, I dove right into eating like the nasty pea mush that they, and I'd eat it. But after that, Esmeralda with the look again tonight. Don't you, you know what
What's
I'm talking
with the
about?
Pea, what?
You know what they make babies eat, that nasty Gerber food. Why can't I get a french fry at 5 months old?
Well, the no teeth, but, you know.
Well, I would have figured it out. Creative, the no teeth part, right.
I don't think it would work if you blended it up.
All right, well, whatever. I'm just saying, like, when they put that, like, asparagus cream in front of me for my health, I ate it. But then when I got to about one, I think I started, like, saying no and avoiding things. I was ahead of the terrible twos. I went early. Just like Vic Vaughn, who's got your news here at 3 o'clock. Good morning. Getting text requests for tunes here, Dan. Can you please play Glenn Campbell, Wichita Lineman, on one of your next bumps? I don't know that tune at all.
Dan, really?
Dan makes these decisions.
You may recognize it when you hear it.
I probably will. I probably will. Just want to let you know that we see you out there. When you text this show, when you call this show, I am paying attention to you. 312-981-7200. By the way, anything you want to talk about, that's my birthday gift to you. If you want to ask about any topic, my personal life, Dan and Esmeralda's personal life, we'll do it here. 312-981-7200. I love talking to you on a birthday. So some people would call it like an Ask Carm Anything segment, that type of stuff. I am willing to speak on whatever you'd like to talk about on a birthday. That's something that I love to do. So I'm giving myself really that birthday gift for me. However, I will read one Dear Amy. Remember Dear Abby? Now we've got Dear Amy right in the trib, Amy Dickinson. I was reading this earlier today, and I love family drama. It's always interesting to me how families handle their business. And I don't want to, you know, barge in and throw myself in the middle of other people's stuff. But since it's out there on the old Dear Amy thing, we can talk about it, right? Dear Amy, my mother lives in a beautiful lake house that's been in our family for 50 years. And for the second summer in a row, she had my now 14-year-old daughter stay for 3 weeks. So, and then she writes, I sent a check to $300 to my mother to cover my daughter's expenses during her visit, which I think is a very nice gesture. You're sending $300 for food and whatever the daughter's eating up. Upon my daughter's return, my mother sent me an invoice for $475.50 for additional expenses, including the cost of gas to and from the airport to transport her 45 minutes away, train tickets to go to the city, to a museum, and the cost of the museum admission. It was an itemized bill. And then she writes, this is hurtful. As this past winter, my mother came to live with us for 4 months, and we paid for everything, including a nice vacation to an island over Christmas. Neither of my siblings has a relationship with my mother because she is petty and doesn't respect boundaries, like a $300 budget. How do I address her behavior? I am hurt and angry by her decision to charge me for gas to pick up her granddaughter from the airport, as well as other expenses. My mother is a single woman, a retired college professor. We've never asked her to pay for anything. We even write her a check for groceries when she hosts Thanksgiving dinner. Esmeralda, I'm going to make you Amy in this situation. What would you tell this mom and daughter about the way her mom is treating her daughter slash her mom's granddaughter, if that all made sense?
Wait.
The mom's
being all cheap and charging people for
Let me make it easier. The grandma's being cheap, and mom's trying to figure out what to do with grandma here.
Oh, call her out.
Yeah. Dear Amy writes, Dear Burned, she signed the letter Burned by Grandma. Dear Burned, you're going to have to express your concern directly to your mother. Your daughter's trip to see Granny has cost you, I'm estimating, about $1,000 with plane tickets plus the invoice expenses incurred while she was there. Is your mother financially insecure? Is she worried about maintaining her own lifestyle? There are legitimate concerns, but is there a legitimate reason she couldn't stay within the reasonable $300 budget? Is this itemized bill her passive-aggressive way of telling you that she doesn't actually want to host your daughter for such a long visit? And that, to me, is the ding-ding. Like, you don't want the granddaughter coming if you're sending itemized bills. So, I would say to Grandma, yo, Grandma, you will see your granddaughter on Thanksgiving, and we will pay for all of it. But I ain't sending her back up there anymore, madame. And Mom, I'm super angry at you. That's how I would handle that situation. 312-981-7200. You can talk about anything you like here on the overnight on my birthday. Whatever topic you choose, we will do it. Susan, you're in Omaha, Nebraska.
Well, actually, to be specific, I am in the Lawson section of Omaha, Nebraska.
Calling from
my driveway where I fell asleep. And I woke up to a beautiful voice I couldn't identify, and I've grown up with you, so, and Nick, and I don't really miss.
Well, hold on a second.
I'll put it that way. I do miss home, but I miss specifically, like, when I moved to Georgia, I miss radio, and that was back before the internet became, you know, a place where you could plug in and listen at any time. It was just, you know, in the early 90s, and we were on the dawning of the age of Aquarius or the internet age.
Well, hold on a second here, Susan. Hold on. Because you said something very interesting. You fell asleep a little bit ago in your driveway?
Well, actually, I'm looking. It's 3:14 now, and I was coming home from the health club, so it was actually probably about 11:30 when I got here. I've been asleep a while.
So you went, hold on, see, this is interesting. You went and worked out tonight. You drove on home. You were in your driveway, but you didn't want to go inside, so you fell asleep in your car.
Apparently. I didn't wake up, and I'm not drunk or anything. Drunk's more fun.
Well, you sound sober here, Susan. So
I am.
Are you having a fight with somebody in the house that you didn't want to go in?
Well, you know, maybe. sometimes the light's on, so I probably was just so exhausted I just fell asleep here, and now it's 3:14, so it's like, oh, well, he knows I'm here, but right. Sometimes, no, I don't always want to go in. You're playing psychiatrist with me this morning.
Well,
sometimes it's really cold in there, too. He keeps it, it's kind of a metaphor for my life.
Is he your husband, your boyfriend? Who is he?
He is my significant soul interest.
Mm-hmm.
I did marry him. Which landed me in Ralston.
So what's the fight about? Well, let's talk it through here. Let's role play it.
It's sort of ongoing, Matt. He's really not himself because he's in a lot of pain. The poor man worked himself to the bone, and he actually worked himself into disability about 10 years ago when we met. And he really, nobody knows why he's alive. And he had basically no pulse, and somebody brought him back to life just in time for me to meet him and, you know, aggravate him to the point of.
So is he taking his physical condition out on you, Susan?
I'm sorry?
Is he taking his physical condition out on you?
Yeah, possibly, but, you know, you always hurt the one you love, Matt.
Right? Yeah. Well, there's truth in that.
You know, I'm aware of things, that sometimes people with disabilities can be mean, but when you're in pain, you're not supposed to be one, and sometimes your wife needs to write you a letter and tell you this, because sometimes, you know, your words can be punishing.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Well, I feel you, Susan. I think it's hard, but I think you guys should have a nice, deep, looking at each other in the eye, empathetic conversation as to...
Well, we do in some respects, because we'll be married 10 years, and that'll give me a total of 26 between the two, because the first Mr. Susan left me high and dry down in Georgia, and then I had to move back to the tiny town in Illinois that I'm claiming, and you know, then my dad was dying, so it's been a rough decade for me. I'm really time for the switch to turn, and you know, for Groundhog Day to advance like it did in the movie with one of my favorite Chicago people, Bill Murray.
There you go, there you go, Susan. So, the worm's about to turn. I can feel it. And you?
Well, it always does when I call WGN, because last time I called, I did talk to Nick, and I accidentally on purpose said I love him, because I do, and I feel for him. I hope he's just on vacation and he's doing well, because it's not his night to work, is it, Matt?
No, he will be back on, Nick just has the week off.
So
he'll be back Sunday night, Susan. He'll be right there for you, and he appreciates your sentiments.
Well, believe me, it's from the heart, because you know, we're about the same age, and when he got sick that time, it's like I knew something was up with him. I could hear it in his voice. I'm really good with voices. I used to, actually, how I met my husband over the phone, and, you know, you can tell a lot about a person from their voice, and you know this because you're on the radio, so you can tell that I'm probably spot on, and I'm not lying at all, and, you know, sometimes you fib a little with your voice and your words, but I old enough to know that radio is really important to me and to people, and some things have happened to me since I moved here that, you know, people need to know, and women specifically need to know that there are ways to do things without a cell phone, because sometimes you lose a cell phone or misplace it for, say, months at a time because things happen. And, you know, you literally go looking for a policeman. Sometimes they're not easy to find when you're looking for one. I've had to do that, and sometimes when you walk actually from point A to the police station where I'm at, you can't even get a policeman then because they're not open 24/7 like they are in South Holland. You know, I could just actually, after I got attacked at any point in the day or night, I could just walk in and there was somebody there to tell me it's going to be okay. It happened in the city of Chicago, but this is what you need to do. And yeah, I had to unfortunately go through something really ugly because something really ugly happened to me and I was working.
Susan, you are on.
Chicago when it happened, and it really puzzles me that it really must be a safe place to live here because the police lock their cars here. It's not like home where they leave the car running when they're on a call. It's very weird.
Susan, do me a favor, get on into that house right now. Go get in. Get yourself in a nice, comfortable. Tuck yourself in sweetly, and the worm's going to turn. Okay.
I wish I could take your sweet voice with me, but I will take the memory of the phone call. And Steve and Johnny, and getting to talk to those two was, you know, I've talked to some really important people in my life. I've been very lucky.
There you go.
Including, I was able to meet Richard Crowe in Lansing, Illinois, one time when he was giving a speech.
There you go. All right, Susan.
Yeah.
Have a great night, Susan. Yep, you got it.
Good night. I'll be thinking of you guys.
Good night. We appreciate it. Thank you. 312-981-7200 for a transcript of Susan's call. Email Dan Shagrew. He will get it right on out to you. All right. We do have to take a quick time out. I will be back, I promise, in 2 minutes with a story for you, a little nighttime story on 720 WGN.
And the Wichita lineman.
This is the song that was requested.
Is still on the line.
Wichita what?
Wichita linemen.
Wichita linemen.
Like the guys who work on the electrical lines. A small
vacation. Okay, well, there you go, 312. Don't say that we don't take care of you on the show, because I think that somebody drove into a tree listening to that tune right there. But I understand that you appreciate it. That was deep, is what that was. All right, I'm getting texts here. People are asking for a story, so I'm gonna tell you a story, which made me just think of Karl Malone in a Michael Jordan video when he was explaining about Mike as a young guy, and when he was saying, "I'll tell you a story that'll sum the whole thing up." And he goes on to, we was playing Chicago and Salt Lake, and we had John Stockton on Michael Jordan, and Michael turned around and dunked on Stockton, and some guy got up and almost followed Jordan down the sideline and said, "Hey, Jordan, why don't you pick on somebody your own size?" And then Malone continues, "Next time down the floor, he dunked on Mel Turpin, who was a 7-foot center, and then went over, looked at the guy and said, was he big enough?" I love that Karl Malone story. But, and by the way, I am trying to start a movement for Michael Jordan was my childhood hero. I had every poster, went to lots of games. I was very fortunate that way, that the Carmen family did have Bulls tickets, which was very bizarre that we did, but we did. And so I had a huge, huge Michael Jordan childhood love, irrational, nothing. I mean, I didn't do school. I watched Jordan and played basketball. And that's like where I put all my energy. So, but there's, you know, this new basketball league, the Big Three is out there. So it's 3-on-3 hoop. Mike's 54. He just had his summer camp. One kid asked him, could you still play in the NBA? And he's like, no. He starts laughing. No, he's like, one game, but I couldn't do a whole season. So he still thinks he could play in a game. Big Three plays one game a week, and it's half court. And I know he's 54 and he's never going to fly like Mike again, but I think, like, why not go play some 3-on-3 hoop once a week in the summertime for 8 weeks? And I talked to the commissioner of the Big Three. His name is Roger Mason Jr. Played in the NBA on a bunch of teams, played for the Bulls a little bit. People probably don't remember him. But anyway, I'm interviewing Roger Mason Jr. And so I asked him, you called Mike? And it was this long pause. And then he's like, I have communicated to Mike through some friends back and forth. So to me, that was kind of like news.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to get Jordan to play in the Big Three. And I think Mike should play in the Big Three. They're trying to get Kobe Bryant. They're trying to get all these
big. I was going to say, if they get Jordan, that'll open the floodgates. Because, like, right now, it's kind of journeyman guys and things like that. And
right.
The biggest name is AI, but he's just kind of a...
Right.
He's missing an action at the moment.
Right. He can't even show up once a week. Allen Iverson, he's hanging out at Harris Casino, missing games. But Michael, first off, he would get super competitive about it.
He would.
Right? He would put everything into that one game each week. I think he could still do it. I got to be honest. On a 3-on-3 court and be able to get buckets, I think he could do it. So I hope he does. I don't think he will, but I hope he does. All
now,
right.
Did you hear the controversy? Because the new quarterback savior, Trubisky, went LeBron over Jordan when they asked him.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Dan. Mitch Trubisky, if you're listening, phenomenal performance tonight. Great job. And I know you're not listening because I've read your comments that you pay attention to no noise. Although maybe you don't view WGN as noise, just real, truthful, deep conversation. Mitch, you live in Chicago now. This is the home to the greatest basketball player who ever played the game. And I like to call him the greatest player to ever play anything. And he's from Ohio. Don't bring that LeBron James nonsense to this town. It's not a good way to start off. Now, if you win games for the Bears, no one's going to care. But I care, Mitch. And it bothers me. Stop this nonsense. Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player of all time. He'll always be the greatest basketball player of all time. LeBron James is an outstanding athlete and a wonderful man and an NBA champion. But he ain't Mike, buddy. And you're just showing your youth which he is, what, 22 years old? He didn't see Mike. He doesn't know. I forgive you, Mitch. Thank you for letting me talk that through, Dan.
You're welcome.
I was legit like, Trubisky? But he doesn't know. Can't blame a guy for not knowing. I get it. All right. That wasn't exactly the story that I was going to tell. So maybe I'll do another one coming up after 3:30 here. We'll just have story time. And 312-981-7200. Anything you want to talk about on my birthday, the dance floor is open for you. 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 3:35. Good morning. Hope you're having a great start to your Friday. Great to be with you. I'm Mark Carmen, sitting in for Nick DiGilio, who is back Sunday night, Monday morning. And Elton Jim was here the last two nights, did a great job, I'm assuming. Did he?
He did a fine job.
I bet he did. I love Elton Jim. So he was here the last two nights, and Nick again back on Sunday night into Monday morning. I will have my regular weekend show, The Beat, on Saturday afternoon, 4 till 7, and then Sunday, 3 until 6. And then next week, I'm actually in for Dave Ennett doing sports on the Steve Cochran Show. So I look forward to talking to everybody then. All right, continuing on. Before we get to a quick call here, 312-981-7200, anything you want to talk about. The story that I was going to tell, like it was a little birthday story. 8 years old, 9 years old, my brothers, who are 15 and 20 years older than me, they decide to take me to Great America on my birthday. And I'm super excited. It's Great America. I'm with my big brothers. I want to be the cool kid. And so they say, Mark, you want to go on the American Eagle? And I'm, tough guy, young Mark. I say, yeah, absolutely, let's go on the American Eagle. Well, we get into the line and they got that little, what do they call it, that stick figure, what's it, Tweety the thing?
Be this tall to ride?
Yeah, that thing. And so I see that I'm like right at the level, like I'm maybe a half inch taller than the thing. I'm like, oh, okay. And then we get in the line, and the line keeps moving, and we start getting close, and I see the thing going up, and I just started bawling, crying. Full terror. And my brother is, my oldest brother, he's talking, Mark, the scariest ride you're going to take today, trust me, is the car ride home. You're going to be fine. And I'm trying to rationalize this. I'm 8 years old. The car ride home, huh?
Oh my God.
Right, that's what he's telling me. But I got to be, I'm with my brothers. I can't be weaker. I'm like, all right, let's do it. And we were on that roller coaster. It's climbing up, climbing up, climbing up. And the tears are just like still going. And then finally the American Eagle goes down. I screamed like it was the end of the world. And then, once you survive the drop, I had the greatest time the rest of the way. But I was a crying little, whatever you want to call me, on the way up at the end of the line. And that was a lesson learned, right?
That one doesn't go upside down, right?
No. Straight climbs up, and it's just the big drop. I was terrified of the drop.
From what I remember, that you don't have a seatbelt. It's just like a pole.
Right.
Which you could ease, and you can slide around. So I don't blame you for crying.
They lock you in pretty good with it, but it does feel, is this really the same as we got here?
Yeah, it feels like there should be more.
And it's an old, it was old then, it's still there now. It's an old rickety wood roller coaster.
Yeah.
It rattles all over the place. But I was afraid of the drop. So there's a little birthday young Carmen story.
Oh, sorry.
No.
I was going to say, I don't like any of those roller coasters just because,
I actually wanted
to hang up upside down for 7 hours if it gets stuck.
I hated, which one I hated? I forget what it was called, but it was like a spinning wall, whatever.
I once rode that stupid thing the first and last time, and I didn't stick to the wall.
The floor drops, right?
Yep. And I started sliding down as the dang thing was spinning. And I was scared for my life.
See, the ones that spun around, that's where I always felt like I was going to lose my lunch. like the lobster. Anybody remember the lobster? It was this weird tentacle thing where it would just spin you one way, spin you the other way, spin you this way. And then to make that annoying, like stopping, like gastrol sound, like that thing. Am I on the radio?
I am a fan of the tilt-a-whirl.
The tilt-a-whirl.
Right. It's got the wheel in the middle.
Okay.
And it's kind of in
It goes up and goes down. See, yeah, those. Those are the ones that get me.
See, I like that one. Upside down, all around, no thank you.
I'm strict roller coaster and the carnival games. Let me shoot water into a clown's mouth and try to beat the other lunatics for the stuffed animal. I love that. Which, for my birthday later today, I'm going to Dave and Buster's. That's happening. 44.
Do you get points there?
Oh, yeah.
You get tickets?
Oh, yeah.
What do you buy?
A kazoo.
Or win. Sorry, what do you win?
I don't know. Stuffed animal, something.
An eraser.
That snake that's like made up of chain links so that you can move around. And
right.
Oh,
sweet
fancy.
Tarts. I'll spend $60 to get two sweet tarts and feel like I've accomplished something.
They're worth it.
Right. All right, Steve, I don't want to make you wait any longer. What's up, Steve in Galesburg? Thanks for calling 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Yeah, Karma, who's the guy that plays first base for the Cubs?
That would be Anthony Rizzo.
What's his number?
44.
There you go.
Ah, Steve, did you wait on hold just to say that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's your birthday.
I appreciate that, Steve. Why don't we let's get deep? Let's talk about something else. What's going on in your life today?
Nothing. Hung out with my best friend. Not best friend, but my buddies tonight. And no.
Yeah, what'd you do?
We cooked out and just hung out. I live in Hooterville.
In Hooterville? Where's that?
Well, it's Galesburg, but it's Mayberry on acid.
I don't know what that means, Steve, but that sounds like something that I wouldn't want to be a part of, but you're comfortable. What was on the cookout, man? You got some hot dogs, a little burger?
Hot dogs, burgers, strip steaks, just food.
Oh, you weren't playing. Miller Lite, Busch Light, Natty Light, what do we got?
Budweiser.
Budweiser, okay. Not Bud Light, the regular, the king of beers?
Oh, yeah. And Wilbur Wood, he used to pitch for the Sox.
Of course.
He was number 44.
Oh, Wilbur Wood was 44. You know who my favorite 44 was that played for the Chicago Bulls, Steve? He was my favorite player before Jordan.
Now I got to think. Go ahead.
No, hold on. We can do clues. Let's do clues. Did you ever go to Chicago Stadium there, Steve?
Oh, yeah, the real madhouse.
Right. Well,
yeah. I lived in the city until 88.
Okay. Well, then you would have seen this guy play. When he scored on the old Chicago Stadium board, there was like a little movie guy that would run out, and he would shoot the basketball off the backboard through the rim, nothing but net off the board, and then it would say, on cue. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, and I'm drawing a complete blank.
Quinton Daly, Steve.
Okay, yep.
Remember Quinton Daly?
Yep.
He actually passed away a couple of years ago. Steve?
I was asking some buddies earlier if they remember Brad Sellers, and nobody did.
Oh, I remember Brad Sellers. Drafted, I want to say, number 9 overall.
Well, he's supposed to be a big shot, yeah.
Well, yeah, Jerry Krause at the time said he's 7 feet, but he plays like he's 6'2", which I didn't think that would be a good thing, and it turned out it wasn't. But what was Brad Sellers' greatest moment as a Bull, Steve?
90.
He was a part of.
No, 80,
he was a part
80.
Of a. He was a part of a certain play.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the year, and I was sitting at a bar, a basement bar called Ravens on Clark Street.
Yeah, is that when you saw the shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, game five.
I can't remember the year or the day.
May 7th, 1989, at 4-some-odd o'clock in the afternoon. Sellers to make the inbounds pass. It comes into Jordan. Michael at the foul line. Shot on Elo. Good. The Bulls win it. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Johnny Redkerr and Jim Durham on the call.
I remember the whole thing. I I couldn't piece it together.
Yeah.
And then they were wearing, they didn't have Bulls jerseys then. They had Chicago jerseys.
Yeah, that was before that. But I remember I love the Chicago in script. Steve, telling that story made me want to cry, just so you know. It took me. That was the greatest moment sans any championship in Bulls history, the shot against Cleveland. And you got me there tonight, Steve. Think about the way you've contributed by calling in tonight. We talked Rizzo, Wilburwood, cookouts.
Talking about Michael, which I agree with you 100%, because you can talk in every sport, but no, you're completely right. But I have a framed picture of the Utah Jazz game.
Yeah. This.
And then my best friend, he put a memo on it, the last shot of professional basketball.
Should have been. Well, he should have stayed with the Bulls and played longer, but the whole Wizard thing should never have happened. Hey, Steve, I'm going to do the weather. Appreciate you.
Happy birthday, and have a good weekend. I'll listen to the beat this weekend.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Appreciate you. Have a great rest of your night. Steve out in Galesburg having the cookout. 3:50, good morning. Welcome to your Friday. Hope you're having a great start. I'm Mark Carmen, in for Nick DiGilio, who's back on Sunday night, Monday morning, after a week off. 815 is texting in. Hey, Dan Shkrew, outstanding leader of the overnight, producer of the program. Can't call in, but what is the birthday meal of choice for the three of you? Happy birthday, Mark, from the 815. Dan, let's start with you. Your birthday meal of choice, your wife is taking you out or whatever, you're by yourself, you have unlimited funds, you can have whatever you want, or you can just keep it simple. Where are you going?
I do like to order in, typically, on my birthday. Mm-hmm. I will state up front. But usually now it is the ribs from Gale Street.
Mm-hmm.
For several years, it would be the deep dish from Giordano's.
Mm.
Would be my choice. I am a Giordano's guy over Lou's. Not that Lou's is bad. I enjoy Lou's, but I like Giordano's more for the pound of cheese that they add to the top.
Right. If you're a diehard stuffed pizza, you're going Giordano's over Lou's.
So yeah, that would be my answer.
What are you getting on that Lou's? I mean that Giordano's.
I go usually spinach.
Dan, we are spirit animals. You know that. I was at Gale Street Inn this week. I got the chicken because I was being healthy, but I really wanted the ribs, and I always go spinach on my stuffed pizza.
There you go.
Maybe a mushroom in there, maybe an onion. Don't mind a pepperoni with the spinach if I'm going.
You know,
but straight spinach would be my, like, if I'm getting a slice of spinach.
Yeah. Similar to your roller coaster story, you know, one of those traumatic childhood events that's really not traumatic in the end. I do not like pepperoni pizza. It's not my thing, right?
Okay.
I also do not like root beer. Not my thing.
Okay.
Whenever my mom would go back to Puerto Rico to visit family and my dad was in charge of cooking meals, every Friday we would order pizza and invariably would be a pepperoni pizza with root beer as the soda. And I would just be like so upset, you know? I was just so angry all the time.
So they weren't paying attention to you.
Well, I don't think he knew I didn't like pepperoni, and you know, and like being like 10 years old, of course, I couldn't just pick it off, and you know, it would be like, the end of the world.
I feel like young Dan wasn't getting enough little recognition around the meals.
Well, I mean, the great thing was my dad would make the Sara Lee lasagna.
Ooh.
Like the days before, so I was a happy camper. I was fine those days, but that Friday pepperoni and root beer, I was just upset beyond belief.
So, how hungry were you every Friday?
I was just, you know, it's that anger overtakes the hunger, right, for a little while.
My Friday nights growing up were all about the Dukes of Hazzard. I think it was 7 o'clock. The Dukes, Carmen family would have a little Shabbat dinner, which is bizarre to think about because. I mean, there's not a lot of religion going on nowadays. But back then, we had a Shabbat dinner, and I would be trying to sneak out to see Bo and Luke Duke, just the good old boys.
Just the boys, not Daisy?
Oh, I did love Daisy. Daisy Duke and her Daisy Dukes. Come on now. Esmeralda, favorite meal?
It would, I don't have a specific
or birthday meal, rather.
Restaurant, but it would most likely be steak. Mm. Steak and lobster.
Mm-hmm.
With a nice bowl of butter, melted butter, some crab legs. You know what? I'd just be going to Red Lobster.
Are you serious?
Let's just throw that in there. Those biscuits.
Do you love Red Lobster?
Yes. Cheddar Bay biscuits? Come on.
See, Red Lobster.
I could go for just the biscuits.
See, you're throwing out steak and lobster, and when people are thinking like, "Oh, you're going to Joe's, you're going to Harry Carey's."
I know, but then I just realized I could get the seafood feast and the biscuits.
The seafood feast.
Yeah, you know they all got crazy names at Red Lobster.
Hang on, I'm pulling it up. Seafood feast.
I think it's just called the Ultimate Feast, and there's crab legs. There's
the
lobster.
Ultimate Feast. Look at you.
There's shrimp.
Where do you go to Red Lobster?
There's one in Lincolnwood.
There's a Red Lobster in Lincolnwood.
Yeah. We used to go when I was a kid. We would go probably once a month. Red Lobster. It was like a fancy occasion.
Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you. Did I just do that? You know when I went to Red Lobster is when I worked at WLBK AM 1360 in DeKalb. And the options were Red Lobster and Ruby Tuesdays. When the Ruby Tuesdays came in, that was a big thing. I mean, we legit had the Rue 2 song. We would go with Rue 2. Rue 2. Going Rue 2. Like, that's how we would decide. Me and my buddy Ryan Marks, who I lived with out there. He was a basketball coach at Northern. I was the young radio guy, and it would be a decision. Red Lobster, Ruby Tuesdays, The Junction. People in DeKalb definitely know The Junction. I'd love a text on somebody who remembers The Junction, which I'm not sure if it's still there or not. Anybody, you ever been to DeKalb, man?
Once.
The Great DeKalb? Yeah, okay. The Junction's your standard diner, whatnot. Love that place.
Everything we do is for the seafood lover in
yes.
you. Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you.
Oh, it's so good. Esmeralda, you're smiling. Look at you.
Because I love Red Lobster. It's so good.
I'm going to go to Red Lobster just because you just got me excited here.
And it's a whole thing because you go. And so if you just get the meal or whatever, but you get a super salad and then the biscuits and then you get your actual meal. It's a whole, you know, you feel fancy for what it is.
I mean, I'm legit scrolling through Red Lobster right now.
It's like a pseudo fanciness that you feel.
Right. It's the pseudo fancy Red Lobster, but it's a big deal, the Red Lobster.
And they've gone past, because I remember when I was a kid, it was legitimately fancy looking. Like the waiters were in black ties, white shirts, and they were wearing those like waist aprons. And then they decided to start wearing shirts with fish on them and like ridiculous like tchotchkes everywhere.
They dumbed themselves
and
down.
Now they're back. Now they're back. To like, it's like a nice casual. They're all just kind of wearing red button up shirts. Yeah.
Good move, Red Lobster. I like that. Little classy Red Lobster. For the record, I enjoy your dive restaurant in general more than the fancy fare. But, I really want to go to Meyer's Tavern tonight for my birthday and just have a cheeseburger out in Glenview. That place is delicious. Of course, I used to bartend there, and I'm a little biased, and I love my guy Gus. But their burgers are phenomenal, and 10 tater tots come with it. Or you can go fries, but the tots are incredible. James? Thanks for calling WGN. You worked at Great America?
Oh, yeah, for a long time.
And did you see a lot of kids crying when they went on the Eagle for the first time at 9 years old?
Yeah, I actually was there the day the American Eagle opened. I watched them build it.
Are you serious?
And I was there. Yeah, and I was there the day that it opened. They had fireworks during the day. I remember that at like 10 o'clock in the morning. And, we saw a lot of kids cry like that. I'd always tried to talk to the parents and say, you know, don't drag the kid on if he's really, really afraid. I thought you were going to say that, you know, you were too short to go on and your brother stuffed something in your shoes, because people do that sometimes. And
wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got stories for you.
When did the American Eagle open, James? Do you remember the year?
I want to say that it was about 1980, because I started working there in 1978, the third year that it was open. And it was shortly after that.
American
80, 81.
Eagle like debut, Great America. Let's see if it comes up here, James. How long did you work at the park?
17 years.
17 years.
Yeah.
That is a tenure. It opened May 23rd, 1981.
Good guess, huh?
You're there, man. I wasn't questioning you, just for the record, right?
No. That's good. Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. Why did you leave? And what were you doing in the off season? And how did you make yourself able to eat only working at Great America?
Well, I started out when I was in college and I worked during the summer, but I ended up being more in kind of a management thing that I probably shouldn't say too much about, but yeah.
So it was a year round gig, huh?
Well, it is. You know, when I first started there, they didn't have Fright Fest. And so Columbus Day was the closing day, October 14th or that Monday. Then they started doing Fright Fest, and now they're going to be open this year until the 19th of November.
Yeah, I saw that. I was legit thinking about going to Great America for my birthday, having like a little date Great America thing. Haven't been in a long time, and I was looking at the schedule. It's open on the weekends all the way into November. Are people going on rides in November?
They probably won't be able to run all of them, but yeah, they will. You know, so, but it's the thing is, if you think about it, they have about 2,200 employees during the summer, you know, part-time or, you know, summer employees, seasonal employees.
Okay.
So there's a heck of a lot of paperwork to do to bring all those people on and to terminate them all at the end and do evaluations and stuff on them. So it's definitely a full-time gig.
Yeah. I had one guy from my high school who worked there forever. He came back to like our reunion at 30. He was still kicking at Great America. God bless him. He loved it. November 2017, Saturdays and Sundays, they're open from noon until 8, the first 3 weekends of November.
Yep, that's the first time for that. But I can tell you about why you had the experience you had on the coaster.
Okay.
And you can look this up, too, because it's documented. But it actually goes back. It's a very, very primal thing. And when you're going up that hill, this happens like 95% of people laugh on the second hill of a roller coaster because your mind tells you that you're going to die. And, you know, when you're going up and you're going to go over that hill, you're so hardwired for that. Your mind actually says you're going to die. And the fight or flight, you know, instinct kicks in, but you're locked in. There's nothing you can do about it, you know. And so so you really feel that. And when you go over the hill, by the time you get to the second hill, it's like you've won the battle, you know. And so 95% of people will laugh out loud on the second hill of a roller coaster. It's completely involuntary.
That's fascinating and very true. I 100%. Laugh on the second hill all day. I can feel it right now. I mean, that's true.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, that's good stuff,
and
James.
The ride you were thinking about was where the floor drops is the Cajun Cliffhanger, it was called. It's not there anymore.
Huh. Have you been to the park this summer?
I'm going tomorrow.
You're going?
Yeah.
What are you going to ride tomorrow? James, I got to go to news here, but we could go Great America for the next hour. What are you going to ride tomorrow? What are you excited about?
Raging Bull,
okay.
Best ride, yeah.
Best ride, Raging Bull. All right, James. You're awesome. I appreciate you.
Thanks
for
you too.
Thanks, man.
Good to hear you tonight.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it. 312-981-7200. We'll talk about literally anything you want to talk about here in the 4 o'clock hour. That's the. I feel like that's what you do on the 44th birthday. Hey, time to get to news here. Good morning, 410. Your Friday is underway. Thanks for checking out 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. Nick, of course, is off, back next week. Dan Chagrou sending me tons of topics before the show, which is super helpful. Dan, you're a superstar.
Thanks.
One of them I feel like we got to address here. Insomniacs are swearing by this sleepy body lotion. So I feel like we might have some insomniacs listening right now. People have trouble sleeping, right? And apparently, there's a new lotion out there called Sleepy Hand and Body Lotion. Indulge in this creamy cocktail of jojoba oil and lavender infusion to feel soft, smooth, and relaxed. Is that right? I'm not generally a believer in lotions changing lives and letting you sleep better, but perhaps this is real. It says, is it really a magic potion? No. Will it help you sleep? It's hard to say, but there's some research to suggest it could. It certainly isn't a panacea for insomnia. People with severe insomnia probably won't see much effect from the lotion. Lavender, though, has long served as an herbal remedy to relax and soothe. 2012 review of studies on lavender and sleep advised early results appear promising, but they should be viewed with caution. 2017 study on ICU patients found that inhaling lavender essential oil for 15 days increased quality and reduced anxiety levels. So there you go. Little insomnia, get yourself some lavender, and perhaps you will sleep better. No promises here, but I just thought we would bring that one to the old airwaves.
Do you have problems sleeping?
I do not. I have problems sleeping too much. I have problems sleeping. I have problems going mid-conversation and the eyes starting to close. Doesn't happen on the radio, at least very rarely.
I mean, your ideal amount of sleep, if somebody said, all right, no alarm, sleep until you feel refreshed.
Probably seven, a little 7 hour. But what happens is, like, if I sleep too much, then I'm tired the rest of the day. So there's kind of a sweet spot. Esmeralda, you like that at all, where you sort of got to hit it right?
Yeah.
Don't take that in the other way.
Yeah, I've realized that I have to sleep 7 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And with this overnight shift, my body has, there's been many a time when if I don't go to bed pretty much right away when I get home, I sleep way past the time that I really want to.
Mm-hmm. See, this week I've been going to work I'm supposed to be there at 9, been a little bit late, like showing up about 9:15. So I'm getting like 3 hours after this. And then I'm fine, actually, once I get out of bed and I'm going. But then if you did see a guy sleeping in his car at about 2 o'clock on Broadway, that was me. And back in the day, I used to, you know, have a day job, and I would sell beer at Wrigley at night. And I did not like my day job, so that was probably part of it. But we'd have to be there that was back in the trucking world. I'd have to be there at, you know, a little bit before 7, and you got 1 hour for lunch at that gig. And I would take like the early 11:30 lunch, and it would literally be a sprint to my car, drive across the street, across Cicero Avenue, and night for an hour. Feet out the window. I take naps at in the WGN parking lot. Krista Flores is taking pictures of me down there. It's very rude.
Why don't you just come in?
There's no couch anymore. Where That's am I? The damn problem.
Let's Club 720.
Let's say it's middle of the. Let's say it's like a 5:30 nap.
Club 720.
Nah, in there's the too many people.
No
here.
Way.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
Up here?
Oh, no chance.
5:30.
I'm not.
I think everyone's gone by then.
And I'm only looking for like 20 minutes. Just a nice leg out the window. I love napping in my car. I'm a big fan. I recommend it.
Do you take your shoes off? I mean, I've never heard anybody put their foot out the window for a nap.
I go foot out the window, which is a little bit like I work during the week in, you know, in Uptown, which can be a little bit dicey at times. And so I'm like, is this how it's all going to end? I'm going to get accosted in Uptown with my feet out the window taking a nap?
Or at least someone's going to steal your shoe.
I'm down. You can have my shoe. It's okay. They're old and not important. 420. Don't think too much about that. Very famous time. Happens twice a day. You don't need to focus on that. I will move along now. Steve Grzanich and the opening bell is coming up at 5. Steve Cochran Show at 6. As it is a birthday for the Steve Cochran Show today, it's Andrea Darlis' birthday as well. And it's little old my birthday, too. I'm sure that Mary Sandberg is coming in right now and has a cake for me. I can just sense it. Last year, she walked into the studio with this cake, and I was like, oh, my God, that's so nice of you, Mary. Oh, yeah, no. It's not for you. It's for Andrea. Can I have a slice? No. Andrea gets the first slice. She has to have the first slice. You can't have a slice. Sorry. So I'm sure this year that she's going to walk in here at any moment and present me with a cake of my own, because she's just, I mean, she's super considerate. Super, super, super considerate. And I don't even deserve, I don't deserve this cake, by the way, but I just know that Mary just is so sweet that she would do that for somebody, even like myself. All right, question for you. 312-981-7200. Good morning. Yesterday was National Lazy Day. I don't know if that's a real thing, but it was trending on Twitter, hashtag National Lazy Day. And so I am looking for, do we have anything to give away, Dan? Are there giveaways on this?
Sure, we can give away a Lou Malnati's.
All right. I'm looking for the best example of somebody being lazy. Like, what do you do that you know is super lazy, but you do it anyway? Dan and Esmeralda, I'll give you a second to think about this while I give you mine. When I'm going, here's a couple ones that I would like to improve on in the year of 44. When I'm going to bed at night, invariably I always get thirsty in the middle of the night. So all I got to do is go to the kitchen and get a glass of water and take it with me to bed. But for whatever reason, this happens all the time, I just make the decision, too tired, can't go all the way to the sink, which is about 2 feet away. Instead, I'm just going to jump into bed. And then in the middle of the night, I get up, I go back to the sink, I drink right out of the faucet, and go back to bed. I don't even feel it. So there's like this weird push and pull, laziness, unwilling to get myself a glass of water. Hashtag National Lazy Day. I'm going to do better, though, this year. I can feel it. Esmeralda, you're not lazy at all, but I bet you can find one.
Oh, man. You are completely wrong. I will reuse a dish, a dirty dish.
You'll reuse dirty, not even a rinse?
No, because then I'd have to dry it.
Oh.
With a paper towel, because it would be kind of dirty.
So you'll have nasty
I mean, it's not that bad. But if the plate is not, like, grody and crummy, like, I wouldn't eat something that had, like, mashed potatoes and gravy and then reuse that.
But some crumbs on there, no big thing.
Yeah, I don't care.
What's the worst reuse you've ever gone? There's like a little, like some cheese pizza.
It's around the side.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But yeah, that's probably. Forks I will wash.
You'll wash the fork. Okay. That's a good one. That's some good laziness right there. I mean, to wash the dish and dry it is probably right. maybe a minute. Dan, you got any evidence of laziness in your life? Hashtag National Lazy Day.
You know, kind of on the similar trend. I have, for some reason, just only at home, I will point this out. If we're at a restaurant, I will be proper. But I have turned a lot of foods that aren't foods meant to be eaten by hand into foods that I eat by hand.
We are way similar.
Right? I mean, because it's like sometimes it's just a huge pain in the butt to like cut things into little pieces with a knife and fork. So you just pick it up and you bite what you want.
And it's more fun.
Yeah.
Or you run out of forks. Clean forks.
Oh, my God. Eileen is still angry to me to this day because I went to Costco and I bought like one of those 1,000 packs of, you know, plastic forks. And I would use them all the time instead of doing dishes. And she'd be like, you cannot do that. You have to be a proper adult and wash your forks. And I'm like, but it's right here and it's ready to go.
That's some good laziness right there. I was at dinner the other night, last night, I think. Said West of Eden's over on like Tui and whatever it is. And you get the old salad with the half chicken there. And I was sitting at my booth solo after playing tennis, sweaty and gross. sticking that hand right in the salad and just eating it away, a la Dan Shugrube. Yep, that's right. In the restaurant, hand into the salad. That happened.
I mean, I've done it here because I haven't packed a fork, and I'll just eat salads with my hands.
I mean, salad with your hands, kind of gross.
It's a little weird.
Like, I'm guessing if Mary Vanderbilt is driving in right now and listening, she's never done that in her life.
Have you ever bitten a piece of, like, say, like the chicken, but it's too big, so you use your teeth to cut it, essentially?
I don't know what that means.
Rather than using a knife.
You just cut it with your teeth?
Just kind of, ah.
Sure.
Put the other piece
down.
I
mean, I'll rip chicken. Oh, right. My God. Mary's walking in. She's got a cake, and it's definitely not for me, and it looks amazing. She's, I mean, sit down. Come on. Come on. What mic is that over there? Is that 4 or 5? I think it's 5.
I think it's 5.
Mary, you got a cake there, don't you?
I do.
Who is it for?
Sorry, I heard you talking about Mary Sandberg bringing you in a cake. And
yeah.
I go, well,
now,
it's
here,
Mary.
I mean, literally, here it is. There's a beautiful cake right in front of me.
That's another
Portillo's
Mary.
Cake.
It's a Portillo's cake.
Well, it's my, I make it.
You,
so.
Okay.
I think I'm having deja vu. I think this happened last year.
It did. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah,
last year they came in. She walked in with
it. It was me, though, wasn't it? I think I made Andrea cake last year. I make this Portillo cake all the time.
Okay. That happened, but also what happened is like Mary walked in with a whole, Mary Sandberg walked in with a whole beautiful with balloons and
oh, yeah,
everything.
Oh, yeah, she had the decorations.
And
yeah, she's in charge
of
that.
I was like, wow, thanks. No, none of this
okay,
is for
if
you.
It were up to me, I would give you a piece of this cake.
Ren, that's the other thing. I can't have any of the cake.
Well,
because
Andre gets
the first piece.
I made the cake, though. So is it my decision?
I don't know.
Or is it? Well, it's always Mary's decision.
It's always
I don't want to fight with her.
Right.
I think
I'll
what
lose.
Mary needs to do next
so,
time is
I'm
just
so
bring
sorry.
Frosting.
I mean, this is. I hope this tradition continues. I hope a year from now on the old 45 birthday, I'm here again and there is a cake and I don't get any. So
well, why don't you stay for the morning and then you can have a piece?
No one stays for the morning after
well,
an overnight show.
Just do it. Go take a power nap and you'll be fine.
No.
Come on. It's your birthday. Live a little.
That is not the spirit of the cake on an overnight show. You should be rewarded with a nice piece of cake solely for you. I mean, look at what Dan brought me.
What did he
bring? Dan, Esmeralda, and Vic, they got me a bottle of water, Fiji water, my favorite water.
Oh, I thought
water.
That was vodka.
No, it's just water. They got me a can of Penn ATP World Tour Premium Tennis Balls.
Nice.
They got me a Diet Coke for going to the movie theater because we went to the other day, and that was a
Weird.
Whole long story that I'm not going to do again. And I talked about the eclipse. They got me Sky News, the Canadian magazine of astronomy and stargazing.
Wow.
4 gifts. I filled in 3 times.
You can hang out with Grzanich and read that tonight.
Right. Me and Steve are going to have a party. Thanks, Mary, for the cake.
Nothing.
Kind of. All right. Hey, Jacob, hang on. We'll get to you after news here. I want to hear lazy stories. # National Lazy Day. Mary, do you have anything that you want to share being lazy? You're like not lazy at all.
No, I
you do
rarely
everything.
Get lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. I got to keep moving. Like, and if I'm lazy, I'll be watching Netflix or something.
Make your bed every day.
Oh, yeah. Well, my husband gets out of it last, so that's up to him. But
the
he
minute
does make it.
The minute he gets out, you're...
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's done.
Yeah. No, I get
you
it.
Got to put the pillows on everything.
Right, of course. Yeah. Big, perfectly folded comforter.
Army sheets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tucked under. Perfect.
Right, 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 right. Well, you're a successful person. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Reasons to love.
It's mom. You know, she always knew you. She took care of you.
Reasons to cry.
In the beginning, it was just her, you know, not remembering things.
Within 6 months, he couldn't drive anymore.
Reasons to hope. I'm Dean Richards. Alzheimer's disease gives too many families new reasons to fear, worry, plan, and to persevere. Sunday, join me for a special 3-hour town hall meeting with the people on the front lines of this battle. Medical experts, advocates, men and women living with and caring for those with the disease.
It's really sort of given me kind of a sense of purpose.
And from the vault, my 2012 conversation with Glenn Campbell and his wife on his battle with Alzheimer's that ended this week. The Alzheimer's War, Sunday from noon to 3 on 720 WGN.
Not going to lie to you, that cake looks incredible. It looks so good. It's like in this perfect cake-carrying spinorama, perfectly air sealed for the moistness to stay in there. I mean, it looks delicious. Mary is bringing an incredible cake.
It does look very good.
It doesn't it? You're sitting right next to it now.
I am.
Yeah.
I can't eat that, though.
It's not for us, though.
I can't eat it.
Yeah.
Either way.
All right. Well, 4:30. Let's get into the newsroom. No cake for you, but Vic will get some eventually here. 4:35. Good morning. Having a great time filling in for Nick DiGilio for the third time this week. As Nick, of course, will be back next week. Steve Cochran show coming up at 6. The opening bell at 5. Steve Krasanich will be here. And there's a beautiful cake for the Steve Cochran show because it's their birthday. It's Andrea's birthday. Mary Vandeveld bringing in just a tasty, chocolate, fresh, delicious cake for those that work here on the morning show. 312-981-7200. Talking about National Lazy Day. Hashtag National Lazy Day. Where are you lazy? Dan Shigru doesn't clean his forks. He buys large packs. Esmerelle doesn't clean her plates. I can't muster the energy to go get a glass of water before I go to bed. These are depressing, improvable things that we're gonna get better, right, Esmeralda? You're gonna wash all your plates this week.
I have a dishwasher now, so
you do?
It's a little easier.
But it's still an effort.
It is.
And you can't put dishes in the dishwasher without rinsing them first. By the way, you know that, right?
No, you can do it because it's a new dishwasher.
But then it's never clean.
No, it is.
Really?
If you have a old dishwasher, of course it's not gonna work as well. Brand new.
You tell me the new high powered dishwasher gets rid of just stuff all over it.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't
trust me, I was weary as well, but sticking them in and they're dirty. And they've been fine. Been clean.
All right. I'll choose to believe you then. Hey Jacob, thanks for being patient. You want to talk about where you're lazy? 312-981-7200. Where are you lazy? Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. Esmeralda, Leon, I love this show. It's good to be with you guys in the morning. I listen every morning. But I took part in National Laziness Day without even realizing it. I was going to get some mice out of the freezer. A couple dropped onto the floor.
And we lost you, but I'm going to assume that you did not pick them up.
Boom, and just kicked.
Yeah, sorry, Jake.
He kicked him under the fridge.
Wait, what did he drop?
He drops
ice.
I
see.
That's a good one.
Oh, that's not too bad because it'll evaporate.
Yeah, but you could very easily pick them up and throw them in the sink. Otherwise, you're like,
I'd be worried the puddles, but they would.
And then underneath the fridge.
Yeah, what if it's wood?
What if it's wood?
Warps the wood.
But the whole concept that we were unwilling to bend down. Like I went.
Maybe
to take,
he's got a bad back.
I went to take the dog out for a walk this, you know, late tonight, early this morning, whatever it was. And I, you know, there's a simple thing of bending down and tying your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't happening. Didn't do it.
You just tuck them in?
No, I just went just roll the dice. That whole concept that you're going to trip on your shoelaces, that's never happened.
Really?
No one's ever.
I have.
Really?
Yeah, because you kind of step on the lace and then it kind of grabs your foot and then you fall forward.
That's never.
I mean, it's not every time, but.
I've never.
Or you get stuck on something. And then you fall.
I think it might be one of my innate talents that I just don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't need my shoes tied. I think it looks more professional. And,
of course.
And I like the snugness of a nice shoe properly tied here. Deep talk here at 4:39. But I've never, like, I'm going to trip on my laces? No, I'm not.
I just bought a pair of shoes that they are intentionally tied so it looks like they're not tied. You know, when you tie a shoe, right? These are, like, knotted up on the sides.
Mm.
So you just put on the shoe. It's weird.
How does it feel when you're in there?
It's fine. It's got like a little bungee strap.
Could that be the new
the tongue?
Is that the new invention? Could that take things to the next level?
I think.
Is someone going to get rich?
I think someone invented this a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Or I'm just, again, lazy and I'm not going to unravel the lace and tie them. It could go either way.
That was I want to say 80s, maybe it was the 90s. That was a thing where not tying the shoe, just the relaxed shoe. That the lace would just perfectly be coming out of the, you know.
But you tuck it in, right, or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, that was...
That's back.
The cool, that's back.
I saw some shoes where it's just like rubber bands. You put them across, so it looks like laces, but
do you remember
you don't
when the
tie
remember the Velcro shoe? The Velcro shoes. That was a thing too. For a second, the Velcro shoe was cool.
Well, I think little kids still have Velcro shoes, so it works for you. High C and Velcro shoes.
I think in junior high, like the Velcro shoe was cool. 312-981-7200. You never know what resonates with people. Ray, Einstein never tied his shoes, huh, Ray? Is that right?
Well, I think Nick said that a while back ago, and, you know, everybody points out the negative. When my gym shoes go untied, they say, oh, you're going to trip in this. I said, hey, I tie them once in the morning. The rest of the day, they're on their own. You know, we're all adults here, and I took care of it once. So just pass that along.
Well, hold on a second, Ray. Let's not race through the fact that you just compared me to Einstein. Is that am I hearing that correctly? Because that's what I heard.
Well, we should all form a club.
Yeah?
You know, the non-tying gym shoe club or something like that.
And then we're all going to claim that we're Einstein-level geniuses? Is that the plan?
As long as it's a tax write-off, yeah.
Mm. Would you call yourself a genius, Ray?
Well, I don't mean to brag.
Yeah?
But my parents were from Europe.
Uh-huh.
I'm first generation. I went to high school. And last February, I bought a 2017 Bentley. So I tell people, the young people, going into college, I said, now, if I did this with high school, imagine what you're going to do with college.
Hold on a second here, Ray. I'm having a hard time following you. You were in Europe, and then all of a sudden you got a Bentley.
No. My parents were from Europe. They came in after the war, so I'm first generation here.
Uh-huh.
They were peasants. And, like, my education is only high school, but I got a better education being out, in life. And something I never had a goal to do all that, you know, last February I walked into a Bentley dealer, and an hour and a half I owned one.
Hmm. How'd you make that money there, Ray?
Well, you know, with our background, back then everybody was, you know, putting money in, like, two flats, three flats.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everybody helped paying the mortgage that way. And I started out, we talked about this months ago, you know, I started with a two flat, and now I have about 200 rental apartments.
You've got 200 rental apartments, Ray?
Yeah, and five buildings and five shopping centers. So
you need anybody to manage those, Ray? You looking for some help?
You know, I have the best people around me. And
what about Esmeralda?
I have a job.
I prefer her in a traffic hut.
Okay.
So, you know, I have to get around to the 11 properties, and the reports help me out a lot. Saves a lot of time.
Ray, are you telling the truth right now? You really got 200 rental properties?
Yeah. Well, 179.
179.
Yeah. Yeah, I sold one building of 51 units, or did a trade.
And now you're driving, you got a Bentley and 179. Where do you live, Ray?
I live in Darien.
You live in Darien.
I got a house in Naples, Florida.
You got a house in Naples.
Yeah.
Do you tie your shoes, Ray? Let's bring it back full circle here.
Well, today I'm wearing slip-ons.
Oh, the old slip-ons.
Yeah, with the horseshoe.
How old are you, Ray?
I'm September 23rd, I'm going to turn 60.
Ray, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
You've done a great job.
But, you know, like I say, I'm not bragging. I tell people I am living the American dream, and it still could be achieved today.
You know? At any age, right, Ray? It's never
Look at Harlan Sanders. I think he failed dozens of times, and in his 60s, he achieved the Kentucky Fried Chicken chain. Or he built it up and then sold it, but, you know, he never gave up.
Colonel Harlan Sanders out of nowhere with a reference. That's amazing.
Well, Walt Disney is another one.
Hang on a second.
Do you have any from the 2000s?
There's probably ones out there, but those.
Sanders held a number of jobs in his early life. This is per Wikipedia, which occasionally is wrong, but I'm going to trust they're right about the colonel here, such as a steam engine stoker, an insurance salesman, and a filling station operator. He began selling fried chicken from his roadside restaurant in North Corbett, Kentucky during the Great Depression. He was Sanders recognized the potential of the restaurant franchising concept. And the first KFC franchise opened in 1952. So at 52, he was 62 years old. You're spot on this there, Ray. You know your history.
Well, no, it comes from you guys. Listen to WGN. You know, not to boost the Eagles. But like in today's
doesn't come from me, Ray. I'm talking National Lazy Day. You ain't learning anything right
talking
here.
Talking about not washing our dishes.
You know, like the kids today, they can see what they're the internet people providing, the software people providing, and all that. But the main important thing, okay, we were poor. I didn't like being poor. Okay, so for me to get out of being poor, it was the money. But I said, you know what? I said, whatever you do, painting walls and driving a bus, Uber, just be happy in what you're doing, and the money will come next.
It's a great one, Ray.
Okay, sir.
Have a great day. Appreciate you.
I will. You too. Happy birthday.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye.
Einstein never tied his shoes all the way to Colonel Sanders. That was deep. I liked it. And I learned something. Let's do...
You got to forgive me. I missed a bit of Ray's call. Dave Bennett came in and offered me a piece of cake.
Oh, my God.
He didn't want you to have it.
I mean, it was like diabolical. Dave just walked in there, and he was like, he offered Dan cake. He was pointing at me.
What is happening
right now? And
now
Mary's coming in with cake. Are you bringing me cake? Yes.
Oh, it's a real piece of cake.
It looks... Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Mary, thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much, Mary. Wow.
Dreams do come true.
Dreams do come true. I've got cake.
Fiji water.
Dave,
so now we have enough cake.
I owe it all. I owe it all to the great Dave Bennett.
Oh, always looking out.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you.
Wow.
I'm going to... This looks.
There's
this,
no candle in it, though.
I'm going to tell you, this cake looks delicious.
Happy birthday. I just never understood.
So, I'm...
Are you happy?
I'm so I'm very grateful to the to the Steve Cochran Show, Dave Bennett, Mary Vandeveld. I just wolfed down a piece of chocolate cake. What would you call what I just did?
You wharfed it down.
Wharfed it down.
Maybe 10, 15.
It was delicious.
Maybe a minute.
It was delicious.
Under a minute.
Dan, I was gonna give you like the second half, but then I'm like, he doesn't want to eat my used cake. So I just went full all in.
I would have refused on the grounds of your birthday, but I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. 312-981-7200. People are just calling in. I apparently want to wish me a happy birthday. I can't help these things.
Happy birthday, Mark Harmon!
Thank you, Yan. Thanks for calling WGN Radio at 4:47:51 in the morning and wishing me a happy birthday. I don't know how this happened, but thanks so much for calling.
You know how this happened.
I do. I have perhaps asked some people to call and wish me a happy birthday today. Is that wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong with owning your hungers.
There you go.
Wanting people to affirm you on your birthday.
Right. What's your favorite thing about me, Yan?
My favorite thing about you.
Dan Shugru just collapsed.
What?
Producer Dan.
Mary brought me a piece of cake.
Oh, okay.
Not you, yeah.
No, go on, yeah. Tell, what's your favorite thing about me?
My favorite thing about you is how...
Oh, really searching.
There's just so many.
Yeah, the list is so long.
Yeah, there's a lot. I think that you... I think it's your playfulness. Like, you just have a very, like, there's just a very rawness to how much you want to play. And I really like that.
Thank you, Yan. When's
your
birthday?
You're welcome, Mark.
When's your birthday?
Mm-hmm. October 29th.
Okay. Everybody call Yan on her birthday, October 29th. I'll put your phone number out on Twitter. Thanks, Yan. Appreciate
you. You're welcome.
You.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye. Yan calling it. I don't know how these things happen. I swear I did not.
It's kismet.
What happened?
It's kismet.
Yes.
Meant to happen.
Well, I'm trying to put Yan back on hold, but that's not working. 312-981-7200. I mean, if you really want to call and wish me a happy birthday, I have to take the calls. Faith, welcome to 720 WGN. Hi, Faith.
Hi. Happy birthday, Matt Carbon.
Thank you, Faith. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Why are you up so early this morning, Faith?
Well, wish you happy birthday.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
It's a day.
Did I force you to do this? Did I say, would you please wake up at 4:45, like 7 hours before you normally get up to wish me a happy birthday, and you did it?
Well, sounds like so. No.
Are you awake, Faith?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Are you gonna go back to sleep after this call?
Probably yes.
Okay. Hey, Faith, I really appreciate you calling. It's super nice of you. Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome. I wish you had a wonderful birthday.
Thank you, Faith. Appreciate it. Faith calling in. You can too. 312-981-7200. Don't worry, I'm leaving, and the opening bell's like 6 minutes away. I can't help it if these people want to call in and wish me a happy birthday.
But your birthday is all day.
It's true.
So you should wish him a happy birthday on his Twitter.
I'm available on Twitter at the Carm. And again, Esmeralda, thank you for the Fiji water, the tennis balls, the Diet Coke, and the Sky News magazine, the Canadian magazine of astronomy and stargazing. I will always remember that segment. In fact, I think I'm going to go back and listen to it this weekend. I really enjoyed talking solar eclipse.
I'm going to want a full report.
Did you learn anything from that moment when we figured out where the moon and the sun and the earth was all situated as we get ready for August 21st when our lives are going to change?
No.
You didn't?
It's going to happen. I don't know.
What's the
point? It's going to happen. I don't understand it. Mm. People do. They'll take care of it.
I thought it was a big deal. All right. Do we have to take one more time out here, Dan? Is that the deal?
We do.
Okay.
We can do it now if you'd like, or we can wait 2 minutes, whatever you prefer.
No, we can take it now. I gotta regroup and then bid my goodbyes on my birthday. Go back to regular life. Maybe I can like steal another piece of cake before I get out of here. That would be really rude.
Esmeralda had to turn hers down.
I had to turn it down.
Ooh. Right. There's so there
that could
be strategy
be
there.
Your cake as
that
well.
Is,
right.
That is
I would never. I would never. It was way too generous already of the morning. So for breaking tradition, the cake being cut before it normally is cut, that just feels wrong.
And do you think they'll tell Andrea, or will they just try to like
just stuff
turn
some
the
paper
cake
in
the
it.
Other way?
I think they're gonna tell Andrea. I could be hearing from Andrea later today. By the way, the Steve Cockroach Show is coming up at 6, opening bell at 5, which is 4 minutes from now on 720 WGN. Opening bell coming right up in 2 minutes. Thanks to Dan Chagrou for guiding me through three overnights this week. Thanks so much, Dan. Thanks to Esmeralda for doing the same. Been great to be here and sitting in for Nick all week. Thanks to Vic Vaughn for doing the news. And thanks to everybody for the birthday wishes. Always a lot of fun just to play around with that when I get the chance to sit in for Nick on the birthday 2 years in a row. Now, Steve Grzanich, the opening bell. I hear we're going to Carbondale for the eclipse.
I got a two-man tent. We're all ready to go.
Two-man tent, huh?
Two-man tent. We got to fit a dog in there somewhere.
You're bringing your animal, too?
No. No, but I'm leaving them at home to make room for you in the back seat.
Okay. How many sleeping bags we got in this tent?
There are three, just in case.
Okay, yeah. Three sleeping bags.
You always need a backup.
Okay, we're going to tent.
Yeah, no, you're more than welcome to come along. We're going to go down August 21st and be there pretty much all day for the big eclipse.
Dave Schwann going, too?
Dave Schwann's going, and I think Patty Vasquez is going, and we're going to do like a big live thing when it happens, when it gets dark in the middle of the day. And we're going to do the opening bell from there live as well during the morning.
You're doing the opening bell live from where are you going? Carbondale?
Carbondale. Go Dogs. SIU.
Are you going to be in a radio station or are you going to be like sitting on a lawn with like a whatever equipment you need for that?
We're going to be camping out in the tent.
You're
going to
be camping out in the tent with the Comrex doing radio?
Yeah, hopefully the battery works.
That's amazing.
We're going to be. We'll have a little telescope with us and we'll try to explain to you what it's like when it gets dark.
Steve? I'll be there in spirit, baby.
All right. Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate you.
I always
appreciate you.
Like you doing the big birthday show. That's always an annual thing now.
It's shameless and pathetic, but, you know, I'm just sticking with it. Yeah. What's on the show today?
We're going to talk a little bit of the economy. Paul Nolte is here. We're going to go through our portfolio as well and maybe find a little bit of cheap airfare. How about a little happy birthday airfare for you?
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
It's all coming up next.
Love some good cheap airfare. Have a great show.
Have a good weekend.
All right.